God never intended to make it hard. Why would a true and a loving God, who gave his son and who gave his life, make it hard for us to come back to him? He didn't make it hard. Man made it hard. That's why the Bible said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. The truth. He said, you should know the truth, and the truth should make you what? And it says, by mercy and truth. God been merciful to us. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and through the fear of God, men depart from evil. See, it's time now to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. People are tired. That's why a lot of people are not pressing hard to come to church today. They look for a reason to stay at home. But we got to look at what the Bible says. Even when you're reading the tithe, it said what? Bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. Did it say send it? No. It said bring it. In order to bring something, that means you got to what? Show up physically. It said, look at a man that's putting the thing around. Forsake not the assembly of yourself, one with another. Look how many people is forsaking the assembly of themselves this morning because of what? Fear. Fear. God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear, power, love, and a what? Got to watch the enemy. If the devil can get you to believe in him this little bit, he gets you a little bit more. Hit a little bit more, and after a while, the faith is gone. Faith in God is gone. And it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith is what? Now, what amazes me, I'm letting the Holy Ghost lead me, how people would get up on every day to go to work. And they go to work, but they won't get out of bed to obey God. Say, forsake not. Well, I ain't going out there. Well, if your pastor closes his church door, you find somewhere else to go. If he closes his church, find somebody who got some faith, and you go there. Because, see, this is the time to prove to God that you got faith in what? In him and his son, Jesus. And if we do what God's word says, God promised going to protect us. Lord, help us. And I thank God that he will give you another chance. I pray that the thing that God shared with me this morning, realize that it is not too late. You can get it right, and you can keep it right. I got it partially right, so I was not able to keep it right. But when you get it totally right, you will be able to keep it right, and you'll be able to inherit that mansion that Jesus has prepared for you. He made it possible that you can get it right, and you can keep it right. Now he says this to all of us. We come to this world. It says, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye what? First. And his what? And what? I didn't do that. Let me talk about me. I didn't do that. I didn't understand that the church didn't emphasize that I went to. Seek ye what? First. The kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness, because all of man's righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Now, what is the kingdom of God? For years, I didn't know that. And for years, you ask people, some still don't know. They've been going to church for years. I ask them, I said, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Let's go there. Let's go to Romans 4, chapter 14. My Lord. We got to get it right. If we can keep it right, there's no failure in him. There is no failure in God, in Christ, through Christ. Thank you, Lord. No failure. Everything is victorious. You go through something, you always win when you're in his kingdom and stay in his kingdom. Where it says Romans 14, let's find it real quick here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People got to understand Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. His righteousness, his peace, and his joy were in the Holy Ghost. And we find out where his righteousness is at in just a minute. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. So when you're in these things, in his righteousness, his peace, and his joy in the Holy Ghost, when you're doing those things and serving Christ, that way you are acceptable to God and to man. So if we didn't get that right and we say we're serving Christ, God don't accept it. He don't accept it. And we didn't get that right. I didn't get it right. Because we're not emphasized. It's very important that we know God is a God of righteousness. It's got to be done right. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay, 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God were in him. You're not made the righteousness of God until you get what? In Christ. When you're in Christ, then now you're righteous in the sight of God. So if you're not in Christ, do like I did. We go back and forth. I'm righteous today, I'm righteous tomorrow. I'm righteous today, I'm righteous tomorrow. Well, that doesn't work. And God doesn't work that way. Because the Bible says if we're double-minded, we are what? Unstable in all our way. God wants to, you're not going to be righteous until you get in Christ. That's it, man. And he says, when you do those things, the way it says here, for in these things, verse 18 of Romans 14:18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and proof of man. So when I get to the point where I'm in Christ, I'm righteous. He got to give me peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace if they would love thy law, and nothing shall by any means offend them. You got to love God's word. You got to love reading God's word. That word is for your spirit. That's what makes your spirit strong. And you got to read the truth. You have to read. If you don't read God's Bible, your spirit is weak. And guess who rules? The flesh rules. But the more you read the word, feed the spirit got the big muscle. Even if the flesh got the same muscle, it don't have the strength like the spirit has. Because then the Lord become the strength of your life. That's why I say, those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Mightily wings of eagle, running like a weary, walking up. You spend time praying, the Lord God renews your strength. You're strong. But you got to do that. You got to remember that. So the thing is this. Many people did not complete the process. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So all that's not accomplished until you get the Holy Ghost. But you got to get it right. Got to do it God's way. There was a time in the Old Testament that laid hand on people and they received the Holy Ghost. But Jesus and God changed that because why? Man get the big head. Well, I can lay my hand on you and you get the Holy Ghost. No, God said, I'm not going to give you that power. I'm not going to give you that authority. Because what you do, you take it and use it. You only give it to certain people. But so Jesus made it possible where anybody can have the Holy Ghost. And we need the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is the comforter. We need to be comforted in this world. So many things are happening. Fear is coming here and there. But he said, not by power, not by might, but by my what? His spirit, says the Lord. God will do everything through his spirit. So now we know what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness is righteousness. You're not righteous until you're in Christ. Then you get your peace, you get your joy. The joy of the Lord is the strength of his what? People. When you get the joy of the Lord, no matter what you can do, you got strength. You don't worry about a thing. You got peace in here, God peace. You're going through, people say, what's going on? He give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Because why? You know you're in Christ. You know you're going to make it. Christ has never lost a battle. You win. You're in Christ. So you got to make sure you do what you need to do to get to you in Christ. What is wrong in the world today? It says here, let's go to, what's wrong? What happened? Some things happen. That's why the world is in chaos. People going through so much. We were not taught this. I was not taught this. Amen. Or maybe it taught it, I didn't understand it. But thank God now I have understanding. All that getting, get understanding. Let's go to 1 John 2:12. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 2:12. Thank you, Lord. What, you got it? 1 John 2:12, what it says? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Ah! I write unto you what? Little children, because your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. So who did God write the Bible to first? Little children. Because their sins are already forgiven. I was in the age 12. And that's why it says in the Bible, from a child, 2 Timothy 3:15-17, 2 Timothy 3:15-17. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, little children, this is why you need to read the Bible, because why? All your sins are forgiven till age 12 for Christ's sake. You have access to God through Christ. And well, we got to remember what's the problem happened. What happened, we didn't, they're forgiven. You can get to Christ. He can talk to him. He'll talk to you. The devil can't hurt you. That's why it tells us this. Ecclesiastes 12:1. God tells us what to do. My Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's what the world needs to hear. God did it right. We just didn't tell folks the truth. They need to know. Little children, know your sins are forgiven. You need to learn the Bible first, not all the other stuff. Learn the Bible. Learn the Word. You said, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, not read it, know it. Know it, get to know it. This is the time to know while you're young. Because when you get older, it gets tougher. And here's what it says, Ecclesiastes 12:1. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember God and Jesus and his word in the day of your youth. Because now your sins are forgiven, you can remember them. Before the evil day draweth nigh. I think after 12, the evil days jump in. You notice after 12, children began to do things. Because they didn't know God's word. They began to go out and sin against God. Because they didn't know what God's word. Guilty. But see, had I learned what the scripture says while I was in my youth, I would not have no pleasure in the evil. Because I would have already known what the Bible said. And I would know that it's evil and I would not do it. But I didn't know. But it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. Because God tells us in Matthew 18:3-4. Come back to that. It's never too late. Go, let's look at the scripture. I'm telling you to learn to enjoy Jesus while you're young. Once you get old, you can enjoy him while you're youth. I didn't get this when I was going to church. Matthew 18. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Matthew 18:3-4. 3 and 4, what it says? And said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, change, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So now you realize you made a mistake. So you humble yourself as a little child and begin to do what God asked you in the beginning. You begin to read the Bible. You begin to seek his face. You begin to humble yourself before God. Now you will become great in the kingdom of heaven. Because why? You will, as you seek him, and as you're willing to repent, and as the song said, I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave because the wage of sin is death. When you realize God's mercy was there, and how God kept you, how God protected you from the enemy. The Bible tells us that Satan desired to have us so he can sift us as wheat. But Jesus, I prayed for you that your faith don't fail. The world is trying to get you to lose your faith in God and put your trust in man. Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man to put his trust in the arm of flesh. I say to us, everybody, I realize some time sickness coming in our life for different reasons. But it says, if there be any sick amongst you, let them call for the elders of the church and get prayed for before you go see the man. Do you understand what I'm just saying to you? Because when you call for somebody that's been changed, somebody that's been healed, the change, so when you convert his faith in the brethren and they pray for you, God, here's that prayer. Because why? The prayer of the righteous avails what? You get prayed for. You, who are you putting first? Then go to the doctor. And God would already done his work before you got there. And even if the doctor says something, because you believe in God, you don't repeat what the doctor says, because you remember that life and death is in the power of whose tongue? You can have whatsoever you say. When I learned that, I said, my God, if you don't want it, don't what? Don't care what nobody else say. Don't you what? Because in the power of whose tongue? This would bother me for over a month. Do you think I went around, oh, is it? No. I'm walking, baby. I'm walking. If I start saying whatever, I can have whatsoever I say. Why should I say something wrong? Oh, this pain is killing me. Why would I say that? Don't say it. I learned that late in life. And that means so much to me. Because somebody very dear to me said the wrong things, and I didn't know to tell her not to say it. But see, we learned where God was at, to get back to where I was. So if you didn't do it, and you passed your youth, become a little child. Humble yourself. Read his word. He even says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and what? Turn from their what? If it's not God's way, it's wicked. And you got to be willing to turn from your ways to whose ways? God's ways. Sometimes it can hurt a little bit. But guess what? You'll be much better when you turn. You may have the right to do something, but is it God's righteousness? But if God said turn from this, be willing to turn from it and turn to what? Him. Because see, he ain't going to make you turn. People sing the song, God going to fix it. No. Jesus said on the cross, it is what? Finished. Jesus ain't doing no more. It's up to what? Nobody can work out your own soul salvation but who? I need our children here, under 12, that should be learning that Bible, should be reading it. It's okay to learn all those games. But those games and stuff cannot save you. Knowing God's word and learning to obey God. Learning what the Bible says not to do and what to do. That's what's going to keep them. That's what's going to keep them from going through what a whole lot of us went through. Because we just didn't know. But see, all you got to do, humble yourself to God. I didn't know. Now, God, I'm coming to you. And I want to change. When you mean it from your heart, he began to work. Because see, when you mean it, I didn't know this before. When you give your life to God, what do he tell us we're supposed to do? Now, oh, I didn't finish reading it. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, get back there. Let's go to 1 John 2:12. Jesus, Lord. Go back to 1 John 2:12. And it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Who is God writing to? The man. Why? Because man's the head. God writes to his little children. He writes to the man because, see, God has a divine order, and he don't change it. There's God, there's Christ, and there's who? Man, and there's what? Woman. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, a brother ought to know how to lead his sister. Now, everybody is not a brother, and everybody is not a sister. A brother can lead a sister to who? Christ. Now, if she is a sister, she's willing to change. If she's not willing to change, can't lead everybody, she's a Jezebel. That spirit will fight you to the end. It will fight you to the end. And you can do all you can. A person with a Jezebel spirit, you cannot lead them. What it says in the scripture here, and God is so... Get that. Go to Revelation 2:21. Get the thing in order here. Because you be trying to get somebody. I know I've been there. Lord Jesus. They're not willing to change. The Bible says they have no changes. Because what? They fear not God. If they don't fear God, you're wasting your time. Lord Jesus. Revelation 2:21. What it says. Thank you, Lord. 21. He says, and I gave her space. This is verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, being permitted that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servant to commit fornication, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they were what? Of their what? And I will do what? Kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the rain and heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. Some people would not repent, and God could not compete with it. For long. So people, not going to repent. But when you repent, repent. Well, who really repented? He wept Peter. Peter repented, and what did Peter do? He wept bitterly. Luke 22:62. Peter wept bitterly that he had sinned against God, against Jesus. Do you know a lot of people haven't wept, haven't cried about the fact they sinned against God? That's why there's no change. Well, I had a right to, okay. You had a right to do whatever you want to do. But remember the consequences for doing what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. and watch it, because that's the, you blame everybody else, but you got to work out your own what? With fear and trembling. Don't blame mama, don't blame daddy, don't blame sister, don't blame the preacher. Blame who? Because if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be what? See, God set it up. Everybody got a chance. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Repent. Turn. What does Psalm 51 says? Psalm 51. It's time to win. We win. Amen? Amen. Say we win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
I tell you. That'll learn what I got to do, and I'm willing to do it. That Satan is defeated for. See, this is a song that a lot of people need to read. He says, Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I want acknowledge my transgression and my sins ever before thee. Against what? Thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. But here's what he said. He asked him to clean you up. And Psalm verse 10 says, create within me a clean heart, O Lord, O God, and renew the right spirit, what? Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Let me say something. Something I didn't know either. When you get born again, it tells us to ask for the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. Luke 11:13. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Now we need the Holy Spirit. Now here's what's so good. Young children, they haven't sinned. Your sin has been forgiven. You can ask for the Holy Spirit, and guess what? God give it to you. Because your sin's already forgiven. Now when we miss that, and we come to God, and we ask for the Holy Spirit, we may not get it right away. Because there's a sin that God wants you to deal with, and he wants to see if you're willing to turn away from it. If you know there's a sin, repent. Don't justify it. Why would God give his Holy Spirit to you if you don't pass that age? If you know you're doing wrong and you refuse to repent, he's not going to give it to you. You go to God, say, God, is there anything between me and you? Isaiah 59:1-2, your sin and your iniquity has become between you and your God, that he will not hear you. God, is there anything between me and you? People may have things against me, don't bother me, as long as God don't have nothing against me. God, is there anything between me and you? He said, come, let us reason together. He'll tell you. Got a bad attitude. What, God? You're obeying with your body, but your spirit is rebellious. See, when you're willing to obey, and the person asks you to do something, you say, yes, ma'am. Not, don't worry, bother me. I'm tired of this mess. God says, you're not willing to obey. You can't get what I got for you. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you should eat what? I'm willing to do anything God asked me to do. Jesus, wasn't Jesus willing? He was willing to even die on the cross. So that's something that a lot of young people got to deal with. And some older ones. If your parent asks you to do something, you must do it how? Willingly. As unto who? Then you get blessed. If they're wrong, let God deal with them. Amen. Don't you try to deal with them. Let God deal with them. But what you do, do it as unto the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. Ooh, you got me going different ways this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So, We got to remember, we missed out in the beginning. From a child, we didn't know the whole the scriptures. From a child, we just didn't know. But become as a little child, humble yourself, and do your first book over. So, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what God's word says. And what it says here, when you become a little child, what happened? Matthew's 18:3-49. I read that in there, yeah. Become as a little child. Start over. All over again. Then when God shows you doing something wrong, you know it's wrong. Don't fight him. God was showing you. No, God, I'm sinning against you. The Bible says he that sins against God wrong is his what? Own soul. I'm not going to do my soul wrong. If it's wrong, I want to fix it. Amen? You're not going to get God's Holy Spirit unless you say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And when you say that and you mean it, God give you the Holy Spirit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans 8:26. We need God's Holy Spirit. We need him. That's the Spirit of God. He made it easy. You line over the word, he'll forgive you for anything except blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. He will forgive you. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, God's Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for. What God said? We don't know what to pray for. Lord, bless me with this house. God, bless me with this promotion. Is that what we need the most? We need an intimate relationship with Jesus and God. We need him first in our life. Make sure that we get the end in place before we go after other things. Read Psalm 73. Get the end. In other words, if I lay down tonight and leave here, I know where I'm going. Get that in place. What if Jesus decided to come back tomorrow? How many is ready? Get ready and what? Stay ready. So the thing is, where was I just now? Thank you, Jesus. Go in front of me. Well, yeah. Help our weaknesses. We don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. You hear what I'm saying? God's Spirit is praying for you to do his will. Because see, sometimes we may look at our will and see it right. No. If you don't have his peace, if you don't have his love, you don't have it is not right. So the thing is now, the Holy Spirit is praying for these things to happen in your life. Now, here is where the problem comes. Our natural mind. Why should I get up in the morning and get on my knees and say a few things and the Holy Spirit pray through me and by faith yield my tongue to the Holy Spirit? Why do you do that? It don't make sense. But guess who did it and got result? Hannah in the Bible. Hannah was in the temple praying. And the priest thought that something was wrong with her. He thought that she was drunk. She was praying, her lips were moving, but he couldn't hear nothing. What was she doing? Letting the Holy Spirit pray through her for a child. Who was that child? Samuel. And God blessed him and her with three other sons and two other daughters. She had six kids, and she was barren. But she had the Holy Spirit. See, here's why. That's a secret. Let me tell you all something. That is something I learned. That is a secret prayer. People talk about secret prayer. Because if you pray something natural, the devil don't know the language of the Holy Spirit, because he can't have the Holy Spirit. So he don't know what you're praying. If you say, oh, bless my daughter with this, bless my daughter with that, the devil says, we're going to mess with that, we're going to mess with this, we mess with that. But if he don't know what you're praying, he can't mess with it again. That's why God gives you the need of the Holy Spirit. He's praying the will of God for your life. Because why? He's praying the will of God for your life because it's important for you to get where? In Christ. And see, this is the part. That's why we got to get our mind out of it. When we do that every day, get up faithfully and pray every day, we're praying the will of God for our life. What do we do every day? We do whose will? This is what I'm saying. You're doing God's will. Now, you're doing God's will every day. Every day. Then one day, the Holy Spirit takes you and he baptizes you into the body of Christ. It says right here, by one Spirit are we baptized into the body. By one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. What is that Spirit? 1 Corinthians, this is something people need to know. He made it easy. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Thank you, Lord. It's time to win. Time to win. Hmm. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. He don't care where you came from, rich, poor, black, white, whatever. He baptized you into the body of Christ. And that's why it says, if any man be in what? Christ, he's in what? 2 Corinthians 5:17. That man need to make sure he in Christ before he go get his wife. Because if he not in Christ, who leading him? Who leading him? The devil. And where he going to lead the woman? You can't lead her to somebody that you don't know. So it's imperative for the man who is ahead to get to know him. So he can lead her to Christ. Now, if she's a Jezebel, she ain't going to follow. She'll fight you tooth and nail. But if she's a woman that fears God, and you're leading her the right way, you ain't have no problem. Because she's willing to follow. Follow me as I do what? Put on the man. God ain't going to change his order. He ain't going to change his order. So the thing is now, the Holy Spirit praying through us. We're doing the right, doing the will of God. Now we're in Christ. We're a new person. We ain't the same no more. We still got to grow now. He ain't finished yet. Philippians 1:6. He that began a good work in you will continue till the return of Jesus Christ. That don't mean we don't stop praying. Luke 18:1. Man ought to always what? Don't stop praying. Women, don't stop reading your Bible. Because you got to know what the Bible says. And don't just be a hearer, but be a what? Do what the Bible says. Now, if he's the right kind of man, it's a wife obey you what? Your own husband. Well, a lot of women don't want to be their husband. And when godly, that woman got a problem. But if you obey an ungodly man, guess where you're going to end up being? An ungodly woman. That's why it's important for the woman to make sure she gets in the body so the man that's in the body that's looking for a wife will find a wife that's what? Already what? In the body. Because if she's not in the body, you got to fight. You got to pray that she's going to humble herself. So I want people to know now you're in the body of Christ. Then it says in Acts 5:32, God give the Holy Ghost to those who what? Obey him. All these folks run. I got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Cuss you out. You don't have no Holy Ghost. You want to obey God? I don't bother with nothing. I said, hey, I didn't get it that I want to obey God. Something I wanted to do. I ought to do this and do that. God said, this is what I said. You want to do it? Yes. Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, you got yourself in trouble. How'd you get in trouble? Well, I stopped praying. I stopped reading my Bible. And I started fussing at you, God. I started complaining at you. I started murmuring. You got yourself in trouble with your mouth and your attitude. Not just what I want you to do. You can do what I want you to do. Or you can still be in me and boss. I ain't doing that. Look what she done to me. God, Jesus, look what that did to me. I humble myself and died on the cross. Are you willing to humble yourself and change and do things my way? And watch me bless you. God cannot bless us with true blessing until we do things whose way. I made a story with this man that made $1 million. Talked to the wife of making $1 million. And that night while I was talking to his family, he had a heart attack and died. Was that God's plan? He should enjoy the fruit of his labor. He got rich his way. Not God's way. Let me tell you something. God has no problem with us being wealthy. But he wants to make sure that he's number what? See, if God blesses me $10 trillion, you think I'm going to start preaching? No. Think I'm going to start praying? No. Think I'm going to start coming to church? No. Think I'm going to stop shouting? No. I'm going to shout even more. He knows. He got to know that nothing going to separate me from him. Anything we've done wrong, God will forgive us, except for what? Blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. But we got to go to God and say, God, I am wrong. You are right. I will submit myself to you. I will submit my will to your way. Now, Lord, I need you, and I want you to help me. If you don't ask for his help, guess what? You don't get his help. Bible says you have not because you what? And nobody can put you down because why? We all have what? And come short of what? I can't put no, but I can tell you how to get free. I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is what? I can tell you a way that God is able to keep you. How is he able to keep you? He gives you the Holy Ghost because we need the Holy Ghost. I'm about to wrap it up. We need the Holy Ghost. And remember this. When the Holy Ghost comes, his first job is to do what? Convict you of what? Sin. Why? Because the sin keeps you separated. So when you go to church and God is using somebody with the Holy Ghost and you get convicted, don't get mad. And go, I ain't going back to that church. It made me mad. I can't stand him. But you go to church and it's tickling you. You know you messed up. You know you messed up. And you go in there. He ain't telling you Holy Ghost ain't using him because he don't have no Holy Ghost. And if he ain't having no Holy Ghost, guess what? He's not pleasing God, is he? He don't. So you get the truth and then God gives you the Holy Ghost. Now when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't need nobody else to convict you. You don't need nobody else to teach you. Now you go to get confirmation. Don't stop going to church. Because when you're out there and the Holy Ghost teach you something, and you go to church and the Holy Ghost teaching the pastor something, you're all on what? One accord. You're all on one accord. See, that's what can make the difference. Just like he gave Peter revelation knowledge, you get the Holy Ghost, you get the same knowledge I get. So when I come to church, you come to church and I'm preaching something, are you mad with me? It's a confirmation. It's a confirmation. He said, you know, God told me that. And I'm preaching to you. Then you're in agreement with me as opposed to opposing me. You're in agreement because why? We're hearing from the same source. Revelation knowledge. That's why I said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're hungry enough, God will give you the same knowledge he's given me, and when I preach it, you will confirm it and not fight it. Why this is so important? Why this is so important? Go to 2 Timothy. Thank you, Lord. We got to get on one accord. Let's win. There'll be some power in the church being on one accord. Talk about some power. That's why the devil is fighting so hard. 2 Timothy. Yes, Lord, I see that. Yeah. Okay, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, fighting against themselves. You're fighting against yourself, oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to what? Acknowledging of the truth. If you don't acknowledge the truth, the truth is, I'm wrong, God's right. I sin against God. If you don't acknowledge the truth and blame everybody else, you don't get repentance. You get to acknowledge the truth. I'd rather acknowledge the truth anytime. Then God give me repentance. And then it says here, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Until you acknowledge the truth, the devil will take you captive as his will. He'll use you. He said, why not do that? The devil says, you didn't acknowledge you were wrong. You tried to justify your sin. You tried to blame everybody else. Just say, I was wrong, Lord. You're working out your soul salvation. I'm wrong, Lord. Forgive me. Please forgive me, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Don't worry about nobody else. Because I tell you what, you open up your eyes. What is it said in the Bible? This man opened up his eyes and he was where? In hell. You don't want to open your eyes in hell. My Lord. Because you can't come back. What he said? Send somebody to tell my brothers, don't come to this place. Please don't come here. He says, they will not believe nobody if they return from the dead. Let them believe those who are willing to tell you the truth about hell. Most people don't want to preach about hell. That's why the Bible says hell has what? Hell's getting bigger. You think about all this technology, all this stuff, all this tea. Why is hell getting bigger? People are lying in the pulpit. You tell the truth, hell should get smaller. God, it's not the will of God for nobody to perish, but that they will all come to what? Repentance. What repentance? God, you're right, I'm wrong. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving me another chance. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, am I doing what's pleasing in your sight? Lord, how can I please you, Lord? I don't want to please myself no more. Lord, it's been tough. It's been miserable. I don't have no peace. I don't have no joy. Lord, what do I have to do to please you? Get personal with him. Get in the room. Lord, this poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him from all his trouble. I had to cry. Sing that song, Trouble in My Way. I had to cry sometime. Later awake at night, I couldn't sleep. My mind was troubled. But when I called on Jesus and he showed up, he took away the burden, took away the trouble, because the devil was messing me up with a lie. He's a liar. Author of lies. Get alone. I never get that street. 123 Crestline Drive, that new house we bought in Charleston. I was a mean booger, fussing at my wife. But the food ain't right. This can't eat the food. It's mean. Nothing wrong with the food. Food was good. What was wrong? I was covering a sin. And the sin was tormenting me. Then I was about to commit suicide. And the devil was talking to me. Knowing if I commit suicide, I come straight to hell. Because I can't repent. Knowing what I want to do going to take me to hell. I got no chance to repent. So he was trying to get me to do it. But God heard me when I cried. Now I say the story. I didn't see nobody. But thank you, Lord. I felt the presence of God. It goes to line up with the time of refreshing. And I heard his voice say, James, get up. And I got up on my knees. I went in the room cussing and fussing. I came out saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my wife thought I lost my mind. But because I humbled myself and cried, I said, I need you. He heard me. He showed up. He delivered me from the trap that the devil had set for me. I'm here today. Amen? Because I cried. Nobody was doing me wrong. I was doing me wrong. There was something I needed to confess, and I refused to confess. If you cover your sin, you will not prosper. I don't care what your sin is. He will forgive you, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Then you can have the joy of the Lord in your life. You can have the peace. You can't get it no other way unless you give your life to Jesus. And he's standing there and said, look, I want you. I loved you. No, you're wrong. I still love you. When are you going to love me back? When are you going to just put your love on me? Psalm 114. No, Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91, 14, 16. Psalm 91, 14, 16. Let's start loving him back. Psalm 91. It ain't too late. Put your love on God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 91, 14 and 16. See, I was going through all these troubles, trying to love everybody else, trying to show them love and trying to do this to them. But then when I got beat up so bad, the scripture came to me. 91, 14 and 16. Because he had set his love upon me. Where I put my love? Jesus and God. Therefore will I what? Deliver him. Tell you put your love on Jesus? And God, you will not get delivered. Because why? You'll be putting your love on somebody else or something else. But when you put your love on him, then you will get delivered. When you love him, you'll be willing to keep all his commandments. I will set him on high. He'll elevate you. Then he elevate you. He do it every time. People trying, think you ain't going to make it. God says, I'll make it a head, not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. I believe that. Put my love on Jesus. Because he had known my name. Do you know him? Do you know him? I know Jesus. I know his name. I know there's power in his name. He said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Terry gave the testimony that one guy was going through. We were at this office. And we were getting ready to leave the office. Oh, here's another testimony. Jeanette. You remember that time I was fixing next to the car? You remember I was fixing, she's coming to get it? And the rain started pouring. And the Lord spoke to me, says, ask me to stop the rain. She said, I think she said this, you get no car fixed today. And the Lord said, ask me to stop the rain. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, please stop the rain. God said, ask me for some sunshine. And I said, send some sunshine. What happened to the rain, Jeanette? Did sunshine come? Power with God. I said, Jeanette, God did that to let you see that you can have the same power with him. When you live right, you can speak to God and God will control the elements for you. Remember all the guy office, we were there getting ready to leave, it was pouring down rain. Wanted to get to the car, there was so much water. And I says, don't tear it so long. And, whew, I'll get to the car. I said, Father, he told me to ask, please stop the rain until we can get to the car. The rain speeded up. He laughed. And at the same time, God just brought the rain to nothing. That's my servant. I hear him when he speaks. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? But that guy wouldn't listen to what I was saying, what God was showing him. These men have power with God, and he'd be with them. Not the other folks that don't have power. And he died when he was going through. God sent him back for a while. It's good. You can have that power. You speak to the elements, and who will obey you? God. That's why the devil wants you to sin, so you won't have that power. The same power that Jesus had, he give it to you. That's what we need. Amen? Amen. We can all have it. I ain't no respected person. I'm a little country boy, family of 14, had cardboard in my shoes, pasture pants. Parents said, kids, people say, I never make it. But I gave my love to Jesus for a little boy. And he's just getting started, you hear me? So, it ain't too late. Just repent and confess. Say, Lord, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And when you mean it, He'll do it. He'll show up in your life, and he'll change you, and you will not be the same. And he will continue working in you until you're in the arms of Jesus. Till you're in that mansion. In that sense. In life, you go through life victorious. And when you stay faithful to him, he will begin to bless you. Says the blessing of the Lord make you truly rich. And he add what? He said the blessing will run after you and do what? I believe that. I ain't running after blessing. I'm running after who? Jesus. Running after God through Jesus. And the more I run after him, I'm going to bless him because he ain't going to turn back. I'm going to bless him. He ain't going to turn back. I'm going to bless him. He ain't going to die in his sin. I'm going to bless him because he's going to glorify me. Oh, I didn't finish. Psalm 14, 16. Jesus, Lord. 91, verse 14. Oh, I read number 15. He shall call upon me, and I will what? Man, isn't it good when you call on Jesus and God, he answers you? I will be with him what? And what will I do? I will do what? God will deliver me and honor me. Me. And you. Anyone that give you life, he'll honor you. They can talk about you all they want. God says, I'm going to honor this one because he loved me. How did they get that? God says, whom I bless, no man can curse. And whom I curse, no man can what? God says, I decided to bless him. He said, prepare a table before me in the presence of my what? Everybody looking at me. God said, let me bless him. Boom. Why are they looking? Ain't nothing the enemy can do. Put him first. Ain't too late. Make a new beginning. Then you won't just have a happy Easter. You'll be happy every day. God on you. You get on God's side and you win. Stay on God's side. Read your Bible. Pray. I need you, Lord. Get alone. Let the Holy Spirit pray. See, oh, then why you need the Holy Ghost? We can wrap up right here. Oh no. Psalm 16, verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You ain't supposed to be dying no 45 and 27. God promised you what? So, but I got to love him. He loved me. He died for me. So I'm going to die to my ways for what? His ways. I'm going to love you, Jesus. Jesus, pick a piece of paper. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Change your attitude. Do it unto the Lord. It's teaching you to humble yourself. Have a long life, and here's why you need the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We wrap it up. Let's go to Jude. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's book Jude just for Revelation. We read in Jude verse 17. Wait a minute. Lord Jesus, Lord. Let me read this one. Here's what God can do to all these people that are talking against him. So don't worry about them. When he returned, verse 14, he's coming back with 10,000 of his what? His saints. And what are he going to do? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's coming back if you haven't repented. These are the murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and the mouth speaking great swelling words, having men person in admiration because of his vanity. But beloved, remember the word which was spoken. I mean, you love God, right? Before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be marked in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, I mean you really love the Lord. What did Jesus say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm what? Well pleased. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why do you need the Holy Ghost? Keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Some have compassion, and some you have to talk hard and be able to understand. But when you do that, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you what? Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and evermore. The Holy Ghost, you pray to the Holy Ghost, it keeps you loving God.